Hey friend, I'm Tanisha Sela and you're listening to the Life of an Empath podcast. I'm an empath, Akashic Records reader, and intuitive guide. I'm exactly what you would expect a modern day mystic to be. I meditate, I'm a crystal lover, sporadic yogi, and I believe in love and universal goodness. I help high level creatives, empaths, and teams achieve emotional clarity and allow them to utilize intuition as business strategy. On this podcast, I share stories about my personal spiritual journey, the lessons that I'm learning through my clients, and life as a wife and mom of two toddlers. Welcome to my life. Let's get started. On this episode, Issa is back to continue the conversation about the Black maternal health crisis. Welcome, Issa.
Thank you. It's an honor for me to be here again with you.
It's an honor for me to have you to talk about such a topic. This is an interesting topic for us to discuss, don't you think?
I know. It's very interesting. And I love it.
You do?
I do.
Were you aware that there was a Black maternal health crisis in the United States before we got pregnant?
Absolutely.
You did?
Since I'm so curious about knowledge, I read and research a lot. So I always get an eye on things around the world.
Really? So what had you heard about the experience for Black mothers in America during the pregnancy and postpartum period?
Not just Black mothers in America. I would say all the mothers out of Africa, because it's two different perspectives how people seeing things around the world. In Africa, it's about social family. And outside, it's a little bit different because when the person reaches a certain age, they get out of their family house and be there by themselves. So for that, there's a lot that you still don't learn when you're in a family than by yourself. So that makes it a big difference.
So you think that part of the experience that we have going through the maternal process, not just with the doctors, but the overall experience has to do with the way that we live in the United States in terms of moving out of the house and not staying surrounded by family and not having that continued family support?
I believe so. I believe that because if you have a support, things is much more easier for you than if you don't have support.
Right.
You can see that.
Interesting. Well, I didn't know that you had heard about the health crisis for Black mothers, but when we got pregnant both times, what did you feel like your role was in the pregnancy as the father and as my birth partner?
You know, pregnancy is women get pregnant. But if you think about it in a different way, it's not just the woman. It's both the man and the woman, because there's a link, a connection that is happening. It's a process from the man and the woman, which is a responsibility for both of them. The woman is carrying the connection that links the man and the woman to produce a new U2, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. A new U2, which means a new version of you is about to happen, is about to come into this world. So for that, you should consider yourself, even though you don't have the belly full of a human being inside, but you should consider yourself, you are also pregnant. For that, you should be able to assist and help the woman who is pregnant and be there always, all the time, and keep an eye on her.
That's interesting, because I feel like there is a misconception when it comes to Black fathers, but also African fathers, in that they are very disconnected and are not necessarily available to assist. Do you feel like that's true, or do you feel like you had to assist me more because the family support in terms of having a lot of aunties and grandparents around constantly was missing for us? What do you think?
For Black fathers or African fathers, in Africa, you have all the support from the mothers, from the sisters, the aunties, the friends, and even the neighbors. So for that, that makes it easier for the woman to process her pregnancy easily and makes it easier for men to keep going to provide the bread on the table. So for that, men don't focus 100% on the pregnancy of the woman, even though, yes, he is aware, he is always following, because everything that needs to be taken care of as health part or nutrition part, men is always standing for that. But the rest, they let also other people have their part and the woman to be able to also help. Like the mother's always there to see what needs to be done to help the woman, at the same time to teach that woman to go through that, because that woman also would be a mother from there and then will be able to help the next generation. So for that, the mother have to help the daughter here, and that daughter will be able to also learn that and help the other generation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The concept of family has been very important to you right from the beginning. I remember that was something that stuck out to me when we were dating, that you wanted to make sure that I understood that family was important to you. And even if family was just between the two of us, whatever was to come, you wanted to remain family and to create a family dynamic that was more than just, I feel like it was more than just a husband and a wife type of partnership. Does that make sense?
Yes. And that's right, because a lot of friends, I would say friends, because when people start dating, they start only with being friends. So if you keep yourself as a friend, that is somehow limited, because anything happen can break the friendship. But if you look further down and see yourself as a family member, then you will hold on to that person more than just a friend, because your family, you know, this is your blood, and your blood, no matter what, you can't suck your blood out of you to change your blood to become a different family member. No matter what, your family is your family. Even things don't go right between you and your family, you still the same blood, you still the same family. So that's what makes family very powerful, because nothing can change family. Family is family no matter what happened between you guys. So if you consider your partner as your family, then you will have a different perspective, different view about your partner than just a friend. Because the reason why you need to look your partner as a family member is because that's the one you are planning to create a new family, which means a new generation of you and a new generation of her or him. So for that, you need to be careful and really hold on to that person. Hold on to that person to create a strong relationship, not just a friend.
Yeah. I definitely got that message loud and clear. And I think that it was interesting in that I had never come across anyone that was that passionate about family, even in the dating process. But also, you weren't all that interested in dating to begin with. You were looking to be married when we met. Or dating with the purpose of getting married more intentionally, right?
That's right. That's right. Because in this life, if you don't have a purpose, your life is really worthless. Because if you're dating just to be dating, you may well stop. You may well stop. You have to have purpose in this life. You have to fight for something. You have to fight for something that's worth it. And you have to make it worth it in order for that to be worth it. So if you're serious about something, why don't you skip all the hi, hello, how are you process and just get to a point where, good morning, honey. That's the best part of the relationship, because the beginning is all just testing each other, looking at each other, but just believe, have faith and trust and build. Because in this life, no one is perfect. That's why we're here, to help each other to be able to go in the best way.
Right. But that's something that is very, very specific to your culture and that in the way that you grew up in terms of not really dating around, but looking for a partner, like from a very young age, I think it's ingrained in you that you are growing to become a partner someday. So you're learning things that will influence how you will treat your family and how you will show up in your own family someday, like from a very young age. I don't think that we in the United States, we internalize it like that. We grow up to go to college, to find ourselves, to then potentially date and start to consider what we are looking for in a husband or not, in a partner or not. And so it's a very different upbringing, don't you think?
Yeah, that also is true. Because what I just said right now, that was my point of view of dating in a relationship. But also there is different, another reality, which is every culture or every people have their own culture. And every culture is different. So if you go some places, for example, Indians, if you go to India, the parents choose, well, not maybe not all of them, but some of them or the majority part of them, the parents choose the wife for their son. And they organize everything and then they prepare it. It may be a very long term until they get to the point and then they marry them. Mm-hmm. But that's not the same reality if you go to Europe or if you go to America or if you go to Africa. So everybody have their own culture according how to do things. So some of those culture is mixed with the beliefs, which means the religions. So the religions also have the have rules and laws about how to interact with relationships and how to get married. Mm-hmm. So for all of that, it's all mixed in together. For that, everybody doing it the way that they know it. But me as an African and as a Mandinke in Africa, because my ethnicity also, mm-hmm. in Africa, we have a lot of ethnicities and mm-hmm. every ethnicity is different than the other two. Mm-hmm. So they do their things their own way. Some of them may be a little similar, but not exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So me, as a part of the family that I am, I'm very grateful because my father, he is very strict and he doesn't play around. Mm-hmm. He will tell you, if you're doing this, do it. If you're not doing it, don't do it. Don't be indecisive or don't be fooling around. You have to be serious or something, or you don't have to be. Mm-hmm. So, because you are not, that's a wasting time. And I agree with that because that's how I grew up and I understand that very well. That's why when I'm willing to do something, I'm doing it. When I'm not doing it, I'm not wasting my time because the time that I'm going to waste there, that time I can waste it on something else. I can put it on something else, much more important than wasting it for no reason, for, mm-hmm. for nothing. So for that, my culture, we don't date too long. When you see someone, you like her, go straight, talk to her. If you guys like each other, go to the parents, make it happen, and then get it done. Mm-hmm. Keep mm-hmm. going. That's our culture. And that culture also, according to our religion, it matched up because our religion also doesn't allow us to be dating for no reason. Mm-hmm. It's very strict on that. Even there's a specific ways to date. And then get to the point, just similar as our culture, get to the point mm-hmm. to the parents, make the parents involved, and then make it happen. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. for that, one of those reasons, when we first met, I said, hey, if we're going to be dating, I don't have time for that. Let's be family. And mm-hmm. thank God. You was very sweet and kind, and you loved that idea, and it worked perfect for me. Uh-huh. So, but however, there was also some respect in the culture, things that we respect, because that was make the culture beautiful. That what makes the culture so amazing, because you respect what is there. You don't mm-hmm. go against what's there. Mm-hmm. So, for that reason, before we get married, I say, hey, no matter what, we have to go sit with the parents. They need to see you as well as your parents. They need to see me. I know you was a little bit rushing. Well, you know, they're trying to get me into the American system. Well, you know, we don't care about those. No. I have a culture that I respect, and that same culture, I want to translate that culture into our future. So that at least we have something that we can hold on to and to see something better than that. So we drag our tail all the way up to Africa, and thank God you like Africa from the very first time. That was amazing, because what he was learning maybe from school, that Africa, we live in the street, or we have got stick in the nose, or we jumping like monkeys. Well, that's totally different. You discover a new world, a new paradise, a new land, a new amazing place. You're like, oh my God, this is Africa. Yes, this is Africa. You gotta be kidding me. No, this is not. Yes, this is Africa. So we see our parents, everything went perfectly fine. We come back, we don't even waste time. The same year we come back, the same year here we are today with two beautiful children. So happy about it.
Oh my God. Thank you for the trip down memory lane.
You're very welcome.
But seriously, a lot of people don't know that with both of our pregnancies, what was interesting is that we were separated for a period of time for mm-hmm. both of them. Do you think, you know, in terms of being the birth partner and also being their father, did you feel disconnected during the pregnancies at any point, even though that we weren't physically together? Did you feel like out of the loop in the process?
Absolutely not. I could not be disconnected, because just having the idea that I'm having a me, you know, a junior version, that no matter what, I can't be disconnected, because that is in me, in my mind, in my soul, in my dreams. I can see that moment every single time, and I can't wait for it, because every single day I'm thinking about, okay, now how many inches the baby is growing in the inside. That's the reflect of the outside, how big the pregnancy is going. So that makes me think about, okay, what this baby is going to look like, how this baby is going to come out. Now I'm going to start getting worried. Is he going to be healthy? Is the baby going to be cute? Is the baby going to be this? Is the baby going to be that? See, bunch of questions now. And all those questions now start creating some stress. You're going to be stressed about it, but it's the happiness in the stress. Because when you think about it, it's another you coming out in this world. You see yourself, because when you're a baby, you can't see yourself coming into this world. But now you have a chance to experience, see yourself back again coming into this world. For that, you respect your parents even more than you respect them before, because they welcome you and take care of you until you're able to now to see yourself come back in this planet. That's like reincarnation. You witness your own reincarnation. I could not be disconnected. I was always connected, always thinking about you, always seeing you. Even when I close my eyes, I can see you.
Aww.
Yes.
Well, even though we were separated for a period of time, not the whole time during both pregnancies, but we were apart for a bit, you did see both babies take their first breath. What were some of the moments that you remember, and what made them memorable for you?
You know, even though we were separated because of the situation, and I was working, the first one. So for that, I couldn't be there the whole time. I've been out for about 6 months, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't wait to come back. But every time I want to come back, work is there keeping me in, and it was a little bit hard for me. So every day, the dream, the thought, all of that, it was a hard moment, because I was in some type of excitement and a sadness at the same time. I'm so excited. Every time I'm like, okay, time minus this. I was counting the days, counting the time, but at the same time, I can't be there because I'm busy at work, So no matter what, I couldn't miss the last trimester. So no matter what, I have to come back. And then when I come back, I was there. So now I was trying to do more than I'm doing, because I know I lose already 6 months, and I want to like fill up those 6 months again at the same time doing the last 3 months. So I'm like doing too much. I'm just going with the excitement. And when this baby was coming in this world, oh my God, I think somehow I couldn't wait. That impatient that I had, that makes the baby even come in, I mean, like sooner than, you know, it was supposed to come in, because the doctor says that baby was going to come at this period of time, but the baby come a little bit earlier than that. I think that was because I was too excited. Maybe, I don't know. I was too excited and I couldn't wait for the baby to come in, and the baby like, "Dad, you know what? Just forget about what the doctor says. Let's just do it."
Is that why I had to suffer? You put some juju on me and the baby came? What do you think you remember the most about the second one?
The second one, you know, it's funny because even the second one, we have a little period of time of separation. Well, that was shorter, but they're still a little distant because I have to take care of, you know, the business down there, and you have to come no matter what because you needed medical attention. So for that, I say, "Honey, you go ahead, you know, and go to the hospital and start the process, and I'll finish here and I'll come join you." And I was a little bit hard on you because it's like it was much more closer than the first one because the time was a little bit short. However, and same feeling again, with the same stress again, you know, every day calling, video texting, you know, it was a little bit too much, but it's worth it. Just like I said, in this life, you have to fight for something. You have to have a purpose. When I come back, you know, it gets to a point where all my guard was standing up because I was like a hungry lion in the jungle, like a very protective of its, you know, his family. So even the doctors, I get to a point where I don't trust them no more. I don't trust nobody no more. I just want it to be like right there 24/7 every time. So when I think about those moments, it's very emotional to me because I feel like in this life, I have something that I'm fighting for and that something is worth it. And I don't know why. I don't know for what reason, but I'm just doing it. And I'm doing it with all my heart in it. I'm doing it with all my powers and all my capacity. And that was really amazing to me until we get to a point where now the baby is here presenting himself in this world. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And the moment the baby comes out, I was like even twice than I was before, because the doctor is having a baby in her hand. I remember clearly, I said, no, don't touch that. I remember clearly I told her that because she was, you know, flipping him to clean him. So I should have just let her do her do, but I was telling her what to do. So finally she moved, go to the water to clean the water. And still I was right next to her and looking at her. So those are the moments that I invite everybody to really take care of their woman.
Yeah.
Fully.
Yeah, I noticed that you didn't have trust for the doctors in both pregnancies. Do you think it was because of the doctors that we had specifically, or was it just the process in general that made you uncomfortable?
Well, that's a very interesting question because it's the question that is not easy to answer. It's because a lot of things happen in the hospitals, and especially for me as an African, as a Black person, you know, in a hospital, not trying to upset anybody, but it's just that sometimes when you experience some things and you see some things, you hear some things, and now it's your turn now to go through that. You can't help it but be extra cautious. You can't help it but be more careful. So for that reason, I was right there and opening my eyes and looking, because it happened to everybody. It doesn't matter Black or white. You know, things happen in the hospital sometimes. Sometimes it may be on purpose by the doctors. Sometimes it may be by mistakes. But things happen in the hospital. For that, I need to be very aware, very careful. And, you know, open my eyes. You know, just, it doesn't mean that I don't trust them, but sometimes control doesn't mean untrust. So controlling is to make sure that things goes the way they meant to go.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that sometimes they were dismissive of the things that I said or I requested, and you felt like you wanted to be there to reinforce, like especially with the second pregnancy, you think?
Yeah, because I'm glad you asked me that, because when you're in pain, sometimes you may be missing things that you wanted to do before you get to that point. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you may have requests before you get to a point where you're not able to do the request anymore, or to do it the right way, or you may say something that you don't mean to say, and those who's helping you, they may not understand exactly what you wanted or how you wanted it. They will just go based on what they think or what they know. But if someone is there to assist, so that someone should be able to say, hey, this is not how she wanted, this is how she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So you in a situation where you was very tired, you was in pain, you know, so there's a lot of things that we talked about before you get to the hospital. So those things, I'm the one who's supposed to be representing you in order to bring those things out, in order to let them understand that this is what you need and this is how you need it, because some of the medications you can't go with it. Some of the medication you can't take it because you have an allergy or some of the medication. Mm-hmm. And they may not know, because they may not know exactly all of that happened to you or all of that you need or you may not need, you know, because even somehow there was a doctor who gave you a wrong medication that you took and you know, it put you in a serious situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't meant to, she doesn't do it on purpose. She was trying to help. She was giving you a medication that will help you. I mean, a medicine that will help you to get cured. But unfortunately, she gave you the wrong medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that can happen at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Because however, the doctors are humans too. You know, they make mistakes sometimes. They forget sometimes. They get tired sometimes. They mix things sometimes, you know. It doesn't mean they're not good. It doesn't mean they're not doctors. They're good because they're saving a lot of lives. A lot of lives, they, you know, because of them, they are saved. So shout out to them. They're really great. But however, we are humans and no one is perfect. We make mistakes.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Like French says, a mistake is human. So that means anybody can make a mistake. But if someone is there, that someone can be useful, can help. That's why I was 100% and fully awake and opening my eyes and being there. Look at every single thing that they're doing. If that matched exactly what was necessary for you, what was needed.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is that communication is really important.
Absolutely.
And really communicating with your partner on their desires and wishes for the birth plan and how you want the birth plan to go is very important ahead of time, so that you can be that representative and you can stand for what they wanted for the birth. And I think that it is very important, and communication is very important.
Absolutely.
But I also think that you were very good at anticipating what I would need and also bringing your own suggestions as well throughout the process. Do you remember that?
Well, I was very good. I can't tell. I was doing what I was supposed to do.
Right.
So if I was very good, you can tell, because you see me doing what I was doing. So I wasn't even sure that I was doing it right or good. I was just trying the best I can to make sure that things don't go wrong.
Yeah. So I know you said, mistakes can happen because obviously
Absolutely.
The doctors are human, and
that's
right. They are, and mistakes can happen to anyone. And I do believe that that's true. But the nature of the situation in the U.S. right now is that Black women are receiving worse treatment. It's in the numbers. It's in the data than their white counterparts when it comes to maternal care. Do you feel like you felt more comfortable that we had Black doctors the majority of both pregnancies? Did that give you any comfort, or did you still feel like you were on the same alert?
Well, just like I said, from the when I was talking, I said, me as an African, as a Black person, I've seen a lot, I've heard a lot, and I've seen people experiencing a lot. So all of that have to keep me alert, because having a black skin sometimes doesn't make you black. Having a white skin sometimes doesn't make you white, because there's some white skin don't operate just like other white people. Some black people also don't operate like some other black people.
Mm.
So it all depends who is assisting you, who is in front of you. Yeah, you know, because we experience both. If you remember, there was this, without saying the name, there was this sister, the doctor, who was not very nice with you, you know, who was treating you not the right way until I get there. You know, that's when she was a little bit, you know, a little bit better. She changed her attitude a little bit with you. But that's a good example, because she is black, and you would say that you'd be more comfortable with black doctor than white doctor. But she was treating you worse than the other white doctor that was treating you nice, was always asking you nice questions, and you know, was, you know, treating you the nice way. The skinny white doctor, she was very sweet and her energy was very, very calm, you know. And she was doing her job nice, right, and then just walk away. But this other one, even you get to a point where you're going to the appointment, you was always stressed because you was worried that she's going to mistreat you again. So having a black skin doesn't make you black, or having a white skin doesn't make you white. You know, it's all depend on the person, be evil or be angel. Yes.
One thing about our pregnancies that I will never forget is the postpartum period both times. I feel like you always take good care of me, but you definitely made sure that I had native healing remedies that were representative of your culture and how you guys do things and in the way that you grew up. Why was that important to you?
Yes, you know, nature have everything. Everything is in the nature. If you have a possibility to use, let's say, organic things, what would you take between the organic and the chemical? You will tell me, of course, the organic, because it's more natural. So me coming from a place where we don't know chemical that much. Everything is right there, is organic. And you know, every single either herbs or leaf or branch or root, you know what it does, what effect is doing to the person, you know. So when you know that, why would you go take something that is chemical, a long process that even doesn't cure, you know? So for that, it's an obligation on me to take care of you, because you're in a time where you definitely need that. You know, you're in a time where you definitely need that. So if I can help, why not? Because helping you is helping myself. If I help you to get healed, then I'm helping me, because it's making it easy for you to take care of the family, to take care of the kids. So everybody can take care of each other, you know? But if I don't help you and let you suffer, or let it being dragged for so long, it's going to be hard on me, because I'll be there to do everything for everybody.
Well, do you think that when we got out of the hospital, that the follow-up care or the period, the postpartum period in between the time, the 6 weeks that I would be home recovering before I went back to the doctor, do you think the instructions were too vague, or do you just think that you felt you wanted to do what you already knew that was natural for you?
Yes, I felt like I had to do what I know that is more natural for me, because I know that that have no side effect and that won't harm you at all. So I know that, and I know the fact and 100%. So I have to do that, because I know that will help you in a very fast and easy way.
Mm-hmm.
So for that, I have to do that. That's why I was doing that.
Do you think it's a long period, the 6 weeks, to go without seeing a doctor in terms of knowing that everything is going back in the same way? Because I feel like, I mean, what you're saying is accurate, but I feel like you were very detailed and there were a lot of things that you had a lot of knowledge about, specific herbs, specific types of food that I should eat, specific positions that were going to be good for me postpartum. I just feel like there was a lot of details that went into the native or the natural organic care that you were providing me with. And it is a long gap between having the baby and the official 6 week checkup in the US. Like, what do you think about that?
Right. When a woman is in those period of time, the body needs a lot of things, but very specific things, not just anything. Well, I believe you know that, and probably every woman probably know that, because that's woman things. But also in Africa, we are lucky to be around our ladies, either mothers or sisters or friends. We assist all the time and we learn at the same time. So for that, we know that your body need to be in some of the positions and some of the times that your body need things that, you know, you definitely need it in order to help you out. So for that, I can't wait for the hospital, because the hospital is going to put you in a process where you're going to be under medication until who knows how long it's going to take. Yeah, they will give you 6 weeks, but sometimes it may be even past that 6 weeks, because if you don't have that help, the assistance, it's going to take longer. You may get up even and start doing things, but inside of you, you will know that you're still not ready yet physically. So that's why somebody have to be there. Somebody have to assist you and do those kind of things if they know it in a very traditional way.
So it's interesting, because what you're saying is that sometimes just because you go back and get the 6 week checkup and you get the 6 week okay from the doctor, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're healed and that you're ready.
Absolutely not. Right. That you can ask any woman who ever have a baby, including yourself. Well, I'm not going to say including yourself, because you know, I was doing the best I could, but ask a lot of women who don't have that help. Ask them, ask some of your friends, and they will tell you how they felt. They will tell you how long it takes them, because even the doctors will recommend you to get a massage. If you don't have the money to go to get a massage, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You have to deal with that pain until who knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have a family member or friend or husband who knows how to massage, to begin with, how to massage a pregnant woman and how to massage a woman who just have a baby,
mm-hmm.
until a woman who already get cured and need a massage, because all these massages is different. It's different massages.
Yeah, I think massage was a really good part of it, a really big part of it. But that was something that wasn't suggested. But I definitely didn't have the luxury of having a doula, so I don't know what type of things they suggest. But you know, from the herbs, the different type of baths that you suggested and prepared, and different types of foods, I think that it's just really important that just native healing is a part of it, because that is how all of your ancestors, you know, that's what you're teaching. That's what you taught me, like that ancestral knowledge, mm-hmm. and what needs to happen. And I think that it's amazing how I feel like that is the thing that's going to make me better equipped to even teach our daughter one day what you shared with me, more so than anything else that I've learned. And I think that's really, really powerful. But what was your greatest disappointment, do you think, throughout the pregnancies?
My greatest disappointment is the support
mm-hmm.
from family members.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know nowadays a lot of people also in the United States who's suffering with the same pain,
mm-hmm.
because support is very important. But just like I used to say, people are very stressed here. They got a lot to do. They got a lot of stress, you know, going through work and, you know, other things that they need to take care of. That's why help is very hard to really get here.
Mm-hmm.
So my biggest disappointment was that, because you should have more support than it wasn't supposed to be just me, for all your help. And I was expecting a little bit more, but unfortunately I was a little bit disappointed about that, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have talked with some friends that have made specific comments. One of my friends said, you know, like the baby boomer generation in the U.S. is just different in terms of grandparenting than other generations. And, you know, I guess people will always have their varied experiences with support and just depends on what their family dynamic is. But for sure, I think that if we had been able to stay in Africa, or if we had chosen to stay in Africa where your family was, the experience would have been a lot different in many different ways, but support would have been there 100%. Absolutely. And I think that it is interesting, and that continues. I think when we talk about the postpartum period, we talk about, you know, the 6 weeks or the first year of the baby's life, but you're going to need support. Like once you introduce a child into this world, you will need ongoing support from everyone. It just never stops because it really does take so many different influences and so many different voices in order to shape a child and to shape their growth environment. So support is necessary. I think when I think about my biggest disappointment, I wouldn't necessarily go right to support because I feel like even though it was just you and it was a lot for you to take on, I do believe that you did it exceptionally well. And I will always remember that. And I think that it's so important for what it did for our relationship. Not that we were ever disconnected or never not really close with each other, but I think it just added a layer to the dynamic with us. And but I guess I was just lost in my disappointment over not having a home birth and not being able to have like a water birth. I think every time I think about disappointment in that, I'll think about that first, because had it been for the ability to do that, I think everything else would have changed in terms of the doctors and all of that. It would have been a total, you know, I guess I would have traded my whole thing in for just a home birth, home experience, and people that I felt more connected to. But it's interesting. This has been very interesting. What advice would you give to other fathers that will serve as birth partners in the future or that are in the first stages of fatherhood right now?
For every father out there, I want to remind them something first. Think of how they respect their mothers. That should show them that they have someone else's mother. They should respect them too. Because if you respect your mother, and now you have a son, or you have a baby, or you're having a baby, think about that baby have a mother, and that baby would like to respect and want everybody to respect their mother. And you should respect their mother for them. And then the next thing is be there for them because they need you. Be there all the time for them because they need you. Be a family, don't be a friend. Be a family, don't be a friend. That's what I would tell all the fathers out there. Because being a father is not easy, but you have to believe it. That's your purpose. That what makes your life a reason. That what makes your existence worthful.
Well, all right. I hope that this will be beneficial to those that have questions from a partner's perspective, and that our talks will continue to impact others, and especially other couples in a powerful way. And so I thank you for joining me again today. Maybe I'll think of another reason to lure you back in for some conversation. Do you have any final thoughts? I mean, there's nothing more powerful than what you just said, but I just want to say.
I just have to thank you for giving me this opportunity to always come in and talk to you guys. And I thank all of your people who are listening to you every single day. And I really appreciate and enjoy talking to you guys, sharing the little bit I have. And I will be always ready for whenever you guys need it. Anything I know, anything I have, I will be more than glad to share with you. Good life, everybody.
All right. Thanks for joining us, friend. And until next time. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. My hope is that you always consider me a resource for spiritual wisdom and all things soul level. Allow me to offer you some action steps that you can take right now to either start or deepen your own spiritual connection. Connect me to a friend or coworker or relative of yours that needs to hear this episode now. Send it over to them even if you've already told them all about how intuitive guidance can help and they haven't made their move yet. You can follow me at _lifeofanempath_ on Instagram and then send me a DM so that we can schedule some phone time for you ASAP so you can start a deeper journey for yourself. Or reach out to me and let me know you want to start the process of supporting the journey of another that wouldn't have access otherwise. You can schedule your initial consult by going to my website at lifeofanempath.com. Email me at Tanisha@lifeofanempath.com and let me know that you'd love for me to share insights like you've heard on the podcast at your organization, or you would like to explore the possibilities of scheduling ongoing group facilitated emotional clarity or declutter the mind sessions for your team as we move forward toward alignment as a global community. I can't wait to connect with you.